to the Classic City Sports Podcast.
And McAllister down the left field line. Connor Tate is going to round third. He will score. And rounding third is Blaylock. He will score. And the Dogs rock it off.
If you're looking for the latest Georgia Bulldog news in football, basketball, baseball, and recruiting, then you are in the right place.
It's third down. Bryce Young's career. You need 10. Play clock at 4. From the pocket. Launching downfield. Underthrown and intercepted. Kaylee Ringo has an escort down the sidelines. All the way to the end zone. And Georgia is going to conquer the Crimson Tide.
Hosted by Jeremiah Stoddard and Jonathan Williams.
Georgia on the mountaintop. Demons be gone and the drought is over. National champions at long last.
Just sit back, relax, and prepare yourself for these hot takes you're about to listen to.
All right, welcome back to the Classic City Sports Podcast. As always, Jeremiah Stoddard and Jonathan Williams. We are excited about the show for you guys tonight. It is game week, right? It is a beautiful Wednesday. Right before this coming Saturday, Georgia plays against Ohio State in the Peach Bowl in Atlanta in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We can't be more excited about the game ourselves, so I know you guys are as well. So thank you guys for joining us if you are here. If not, and you're listening to this later, we still appreciate that as well. But if you are here right now, please do us a favor. Make sure you like the video and share it with other people and try to get as many people in this as we can. And in the comment section, we love to interact with people as well. So we're excited to get into this show for you guys. Jonathan, how we feeling? We're a few days out. Where do you stand right now as far as the anxiety of this game?
Anxiety? I don't know that I really have anxiety. It's just, I feel like because you have to wait so long for this game, which might be the opposite for other people, the fact that you have to wait a month, the anxiety might get a little worse as you inch closer to the game. But for me, it's almost like I have an entire month to really just kind of break down both teams. You know, I'm a stats guy, so I'm looking at the stats for both teams, kind of analyzing where they are in certain areas of the game, who matches up best in this area of the game, who has the best red zone offense, red zone defense, yada, yada, yada. That's kind of what I do. Of course, pushing out content for the website as well, and then bringing content here for everybody as well. So honestly, I don't know that I have anxiety. I think I'm just excited. You know, I get to go to the game, so that's obviously exciting. Being a student, of course, at the University of Georgia, you don't get that opportunity very often. The fact that it's back-to-back years that I've had, that we get the opportunity to watch Georgia in the playoffs now, and that I get to go to this one as well, with it being Georgia and Ohio State too. Like, the build-up and the anticipation for this game has just been insane. And every single day that you get closer to it, it just continues to build, and the excitement builds. And the I feel like the friction between the fan bases has kind of started to build up a lot this week as well. It was very quiet in the month of December, yeah. It seemed like. I was like, where are the Ohio State fans? Like, I'm not even seeing them on my Twitter feed or anything like that. And then, boy, oh, boy, did they arrive this week. And I was excited to see that. I love seeing all the clapbacks and whatnot, because it's fun. It's college football. The fan feuds are a part of the game, and that's what makes college football so great. So I'm just excited, honestly. No anxiety on my end.
So I'm with you as well. And so that 4-week time period that you're waiting for the game is, it goes back kind of like the summer, right? It's talking season. It's the time period where everyone gets to talk. So when we haven't seen that much from Ohio State fans, it's been kind of weird, considering we had seen so much stuff from Ohio State throughout the season, even at Georgia. Like, we hadn't played each other. Georgia hadn't played Ohio State in so long. They just sat there all year long talking about how we shouldn't be the number one team in the country. They kept talking about how they were so much better of a team all season long, right? And then Georgia wins the SEC championship game by 20. They don't play in a championship game because they lost by 20 to Michigan the week before. And all of a sudden, they went radio silent for a little bit, right? You didn't hear from them. So it was like, we heard from y'all all season long. Now that we're actually about to play each other, we aren't hearing from you anymore. So it didn't make any sense on that part, because that was the perfect time for them to be talking about Georgia. But like you said, it started to, you know, ramp up some. We're starting to get more of that conversation and more of that stuff on there. And it's fun for me as well, because I like to sit, you know how I am with opposing fans and stuff. I love that. I absolutely love that. I think it's part of college football. It's what makes it fun. The rivalries, the intense arguments or conversations. I haven't been arguing with anybody right now. That'll probably come later. Or when games like this, I don't usually argue with fans prior. I usually wait until after the game, and I have my receipts. I have my receipts, and I'm ready to come back and say, "Hey, buddy, it's me. You remember this comment that you made earlier?" That's kind of how I sit. That's how I handle games like this. But I think I used the wrong word earlier. I said anxiety, right? Better word for it, because I'm with you. I'm not exactly anxious about this game as far as like results. I'm more anxiously waiting. So it's more of an anticipation kind of thing for this game. I have so much like it's been building and building and building all month. And it's been all season. We've been kind of waiting for a matchup like this, right? And we got the Tennessee game, handled that very well. And then you get this game this coming weekend, and it's time to buckle those chin straps and just get to work.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I think it's interesting too. It's not even just the fans that have been kind of clapping back at Georgia or beating their chest or whatever. We'll go ahead and get into this. They've been doing their press conferences with the media. Both teams have in Atlanta. Ohio State has their turn up on the podium that Georgia follows. Will Muschamp provided a great soundbite the other day when he was up there, and he kind of threw some shade over at Kirk Herbstreit back for the 1993 Citrus Bowl, saying funny. That he knew that Georgia had a chance to win when Kirk Herbstreit got to throw a football across the luncheon room. And he's like, at that point, I knew that we had a chance to beat them. And then I believe Will Muschamp ended up picking him off in that game to kind of seal the game back in 1993. And so then Kirk Herbstreit gets wind of this. And actually, Will said, make sure you Kirk heard that I said this, by the way. Get that out to him. And Kirk, of course, ends up hearing about it and then goes on, you know, honestly, I don't remember too much about Will is what he says. Which, of course, as I said, he intercepted Kirk Herbstreit. Yeah, in the game.
So he remembers.
I think he definitely remembers Will Muschamp being in Georgia. But he was kind of quiet, did not want to reply back to that. But so Will Muschamp had his fun. But then Ohio State, you know, most of the conversation this week has been very cordial. If you've been listening to the interviews up to this point today, both teams have just kind of had a lot of respect. You know, everybody makes a joke about Kirby Smart having a lot of respect for the opponent. But that's kind of how both teams have handled this situation. They both speak very highly of each other. They are very they have mutual respect for each other's games. They know that, you know, we're both here for a reason. We're both really good football teams. So let's not go out here and act like that the other one is inferior to the other, because we're in the top four for a reason. We're one of four final teams remaining for a reason. But Ohio State made some comments today, specifically some players, Jack Sawyer being one of them, who I believe is an edge rusher for the Buckeyes, saying, and they were asked about how Georgia might have some advantages on offense or whatnot, and what did they feel like their advantages were for their team in general. And he goes on to say that, I feel like we have advantages across the board on our team. All over the field, they have advantages. And his teammates, two teammates sitting up there with him, agreed and said, like, yeah, I feel the same way. I think that we definitely have advantages all over the field. So I think that was interesting, because that was the first part of the week where you kind of felt some hostility between the two sides. And you saw Ohio State kind of poking the bear a little bit. And Stoddard, you and I both have been around this program, or have been fans of this program for a long time and long enough to know that you don't Absolutely. Poke the bear, especially not a Kirby Smart-led team. You do not give them that bulletin board material, and that definitely seemed like some bulletin board material.
They've definitely done their job as far as giving that type of material out there. And you and I were talking before the show came on about that comment specifically, right? Yeah, they have advantages like in certain places. Let's not sit here and pretend like the Buckeyes aren't a good football team. They are in the top four. They did win 11 games this year. They are a good football team. They score a lot of points, all that good stuff. So there are positions or areas in this game that they will have an advantage. There are. But to say it's across the board, basically, or all across the board, meaning there are several, that's where I don't know that they have like as many advantages as they, you know, like to act like they have. But I once again, they have a couple advantages. You know, they have some great receivers out there. They stretch the ball. They stretch the field really well on the deep pass, and they do that a lot. We were talking about that before the show as well, about their statistics of pass plays over 20 yards and then over 30 yards. They do that often, very often. So they have the ability to beat one of the Georgia's young corners down the field, or maybe a Malachi Starks undercuts a route because he's done that a couple times this year trying to pick it off, and maybe they beat him over top because he's trying to make a play on the ball, which once again, you and I've talked about, that kid is extremely instinctive. And he reminds me personally a lot of how Richard LeCount used to play football, in the sense of he tries to make that instinctive play, and every once in a while it's going to beat you, you know, but he will start to pick those balls off, and then he will start taking them back for interception, for touchdowns, all that kind of stuff as he ages and gets more mature in the system. But he's instinctual. You don't want to take that away from a player like him. But that leaves the open door for Ohio State, that throws the ball really well down the field, to take advantage of something like that at some point during this game. But to say it's across the board advantages, I think is, like you said, it's that bulletin board material that just told every Georgia player, oh, they think they're better than me. They think they have an advantage over me. I'm going to show them that they don't. And another thing that was brought up by that was asked by reporters to Ohio State players was about the physicality of a game like this. And, you know, skilled players are out there saying, yeah, you know, we're ready to be in a physical game. We got to be more physical, do all that kind of stuff. And, you know, an offensive lineman's up there and he goes, nah, we're physical. We'll be physical. We're not worried about, you know, being physical. Don't worry about it. That's their job, right? They are the offensive line. They're supposed to be physical, and they're going to be challenged massively against Georgia's defensive line this week. And we'll see how that plays out as far as the physicality goes. I'm on the side of, I don't know if they will be able to hold the four quarters of physicality that Georgia will. So it's up to Georgia to make sure they're in a good position in this game to where they're, you know, ahead or something like that going into the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden they could take away that game in the fourth quarter because the physicality starts to set in of how much, you know, faster, stronger, that kind of stuff that some of these guys might be on Georgia's roster.
Yeah, you know, I remember another Big Ten team last year kind of talking about that they were ready to match the physicality that Georgia brought. Next thing you know, next thing you know, one of their offensive linemen's getting Judy chopped in the throat by Georgia's defensive lineman getting put on the freaking ground. So you can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? That's what it boils down to, because it's one thing to watch Georgia be physical on tape. It's one thing to watch them be physical and beat people up on the field on a TV copy, but it's a whole nother animal to be lined up head to head with Jalen Carter right across from your face. And then next thing you know, a ball snapped and he's right on your throat, pushing you back 10 yards. Like, that's a different type of thing. It's one thing to prepare for that physicality. I don't know that you can prepare yourself for a physicality like a unit of a human being that Jalen Carter is, or Jamon Dumas Johnson. You know, that's different. And Georgia prepares for that. Like my dad's saying in the comments right now, Bloody Tuesdays. Georgia prepares for those types of things. They prepare for this physicality. They callous their bodies to where they can wear people down and they don't feel it. That's why in the fourth quarter, those pads are still popping.
You want to know why, though? Like, how Georgia can prepare for that and Ohio State necessarily can't prepare for that? Same thing. It's because they got the dudes on the other side of the ball that are hitting them like that. They're going up against Jalen Carter and JDJ. So, of course, they can prepare for it, because they every day in practice, good on good, ones versus ones kind of stuff, they get hit by those guys. They can callous themselves because they have that. The reason Ohio State struggles, or Michigan might struggle to do that, is because they do not have that guy on the other side of the field to challenge them physically the same way. And then they play week after week against other teams that don't have that guy. They don't have that Jalen Carter on the defensive line. And so they can't really prepare the same way that Georgia can. That is a benefit to having, as Shane Beamer said last year, they got five stars everywhere. I mean, that's the benefit of that. And to be fair, Ohio State has dudes on their roster. They have stars all over their roster as well. They recruit very well and have for a very long time as well. So that's not me saying they don't have good football players. They have good football players. It's just different down here in the type of game that we play at Georgia week in and week out. I think that is what makes it. And somebody was asked, going back to the comment about the physicality, when asked about that, one of the guys said that has to be prepared for in August. You start preparing for that in August. So essentially saying, I mean, in this 4-week time period, you're talking about going up against Georgia. You can't necessarily prepare for that in a 4-week stretch. You had to have been preparing for that since August. And if you haven't been preparing, you're not going to be ready for that type of matchup. And I think that's what hits them sometimes when you see Michigan go up against Georgia last year in the Orange Bowl. And it's just a huge physical difference in that game. They dominated them from the snap of that ball, the opening whistle of that, to the closing whistle of that game. All 60 minutes just dominated.
Yeah, and Kirk Herbstreit joined the Pat McAfee show actually a couple weeks ago. I can't remember exactly, but he was talking about the Georgia-Ohio State game. And as I said before, you know, Kirk Herbstreit is an Ohio State alum, played football there, played quarterback, very beloved by the Buckeye Nation. And he went on to say that if Ohio State is not wiring their brains right now, and this was early in December, like 3 weeks ago, probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, like I said, so this is early in December. He said, if they're not wiring their brains right now, if they are not preparing themselves for 90 minutes of physicality from Georgia, then it's going to be a bloodbath, and it's going to be a huge monstrous win for Georgia. He said they will get embarrassed if Ohio State is not preparing for that, because that's not something you prepare for 3 weeks out from your college football playoff game. If you haven't been preparing yourself for that moment, like you said, back in August, if you ain't doing it then it ain't going to happen. You ain't just going to randomly, you're not just going to find that physical toughness in yourself this late in the season, because if that's not who you are at this point, then that's not who you are now. We always say, like, around the midpoint of the season, like, you are who you are by now. Like, you know who everybody is about halfway through the season, because, like, you're six games through the year. You've at least probably seen them play at least one solid football team, and so you know who everybody is at that point. And by God, by now, you definitely know who everybody is. You might gain some people back with injuries like Georgia is, or you might lose some people like Ohio State has due to injuries. But at the end of the day, if you don't have it in you, it doesn't matter. There's no finding it in practice in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium 4 days right out from this football game. Right. It's not going to happen. And I think another thing that was interesting that kind of speaks to this as well is Ryan Day was asked about Georgia's defensive front specifically. And he's like, yeah, you know, they're great because they have a guy like Jalen Carter. They're great because they have good football players, but it goes past that, because there's multiple positions where they're two deep, they're three deep, and those guys just keep coming. They rotate them in, and every single one of them is a great football player. That's what separates Georgia from everybody else. Everybody talks about the depth that Georgia has because they recruit all these five stars, as you mentioned, Shane Beamer. They recruit every freaking five star in the country, it seems like, and they get them on campus, and they're really freaking good. So Ohio State does have great players, and they probably do have the advantage at certain positions, like wide receiver and probably quarterback and maybe even some offensive line positions and whatnot, but they don't have the advantage at depth. And by the time that second half rolls around, that's where depth really starts to play in, and that's where you really find out how physical are you, how physically tough are you. And Georgia has proven every single game this year that they're more physically tough than anybody else in the country.
Absolutely. And so let's go ahead and get into this real quick. One of the keys of this game, and I think this goes both ways 100% here, whoever can continue to score at the pace and the way that they have in the red zone for the entire season is a team that will have a huge advantage, because both teams can move the ball down the field. You've seen that from Georgia all year. You've seen that from Ohio State all year. They're both able to score a lot of points in general. Ohio State does score more points per game by about five, but Georgia's success in the red zone is the best in the nation. Ohio State has a really, really good success rate in the red zone, and they also have a really high percentage of their red zone success being touchdowns, right? So 75% of the time they score in the red zone, it's a touchdown. The thing that I want to point out to a lot of people, and I know Georgia has kicked a lot of field goals all season. We've talked about it, I think, five different times this season where we've said, hey, man, you cannot come into this game and kick a bunch of field goals in the red zone and not score touchdowns. That's how you get games that are a lot closer against a Missouri, a Kent State, and Kentucky's and Mississippi State. Those games are close because you can't put it in the end zone, in the red zone like that. So with that being said, Georgia is 8% behind them. It's 67% of their red zone success has come on touchdowns as well. So it's 8% different there. But Georgia, I think, what did you say? Was it 13, 14
they have
more
13
attempts?
13 more red zone attempts than Ohio State.
13
does.
More red zone attempts. Yes. So that's also played into that factor as well. There's a lot more trips into the red zone for Georgia, and that goes into that. And they have done better later in the season about scoring touchdowns and not kicking as many field goals. So I have been happy with some of the success they've been able to take in that as well. Also, you don't stall in the red zone if you score from outside the 20, which is exactly what Ohio State does a lot. They throw the ball a ton downfield. We talked about it earlier, you and I did, about the percentage of plays, passing plays over 20 and 30 yards, extremely high. They've done that a bunch this season. Top 10 in both of those categories. So my first key to success for either team, this goes both ways, is continuing to score touchdowns in the red zone and not having to settle for a lot of field goals in this game. I think that's an obvious one, but I think that's a very important one.
Yeah, I gave my two keys on Twitter, and I'll go ahead and regurgitate those, if you will, on here. I agree with your red zone one. That's definitely a big key. Georgia, surprisingly, actually, they've scored the third most touchdowns in the red zone, and the only two teams that they're behind is USC and Tennessee. So that's that's got to feel comforting if you're our Georgia fan. Like, yeah, it feels like we're kicking a crap ton of field goals, but you also have the third most touchdowns in the red zone as well. And it's because you have an efficient offense that gets in the red zone so frequently. Like I said, you have the second most red zone attempts in the country, again, only behind USC in that category as well. So you're great in the red zone, actually. Like, you're having success and you are efficient. It's really, it probably just feels like you're kicking more field goals because you're down there a whole lot more than anybody else. And so it kind of skews the numbers, kind of probably skews your thought process on that. But my two keys to victory for Georgia that I put out on my Twitter timeline was, one, get them off the field. You have to get Ohio State off the field because, and I say that because Ohio State has the 10th fewest third down attempts in the country. 10th fewest in the country. That's they are elite at not getting themselves in third down situations. And when they do get to third down situations, I think they're converting 46% of the time, I want to say. So almost 50% of the time, they are converting on third down. So in other words, when you get Ohio State to third down, you have to get them off the field, like Michigan did when they played them in the final week of the regular season. Ohio State was 5 for 18, I want to say, on third down against Michigan. And you saw how that game ended. So you have to get them off the field when you get them the third down. That's a big key for Georgia. And then my other one was, you got to make them earn it. You talked about the explosives. They're top 10 in both passing plays for over 20 yards, and they're also top 10 in plays for passing plays for 30 or more yards. They have 30 of those, actually. So they're really good at that. They chunk it, they run and gun. And so you got to make them earn it. Make them earn every single yard. Don't give them these freebies. Don't let them chunk it and run with it. Don't let them pick up these yards in bunches. Make them drive down the field, because that's not what they want to do. That's not where they're comfortable at. You have to make them uncomfortable on offense. Make them methodically drive down the field. If they're going to score, look, Ohio State's going to score. They're too good of an offense not to at least get in the end zone once or twice, you know?
Absolutely.
So when they do, though, make them earn it. Make them feel you. Make them pick it up four yards, maybe 10 yards. Don't let them chunk it for 40 yards, and then all of a sudden they're already in business in the red zone, and they get a three-play drive in a minute, and they already got 7 points on the board. That's what you can't have happen. So when they do score, make them earn it, get them off the field, and convert in the red zone. Those are your three keys to victory, in my opinion, courtesy of us. So I think if Georgia does all three of those things, then they'll be in really good shape to punch your ticket to another national title game. And you know, it kind of seems simple. People are probably like, well, no duh, Jay Will. No duh, Stoddard. Like, yeah, convert in the red zone, score points. Don't let them score points. And then also get them off the field. Like, yeah, no duh. But at the same time, especially when you're playing a team like Ohio State that has such a prolific offense and a quarterback like CJ Stroud and a guy like Marvin Harrison, that's what's required of you to win that football game. It's not necessarily required against Kentucky. Georgia was not good in the red zone against Kentucky, and they still came out with a victory, but it is key against a team like Ohio State. So it is still different. That was the key for Georgia to beat Tennessee, and it's the key for Georgia to beat Ohio State this weekend.
Absolutely. Let me give you one more key. So let's make it a four, so two each. Oh, one more key that's kind of an obvious one, or people feel one more that kind of feels like an obvious one or something that people will often say, right? Let's talk about Ohio State's offensive line versus Georgia on their defensive line. That matchup right there is going to dictate so much in this game. And once again, it's everyone always says the games are won in the trenches, right? It really is so many times. That's why people consistently say something like that. The point that I want to make on this is CJ Stroud only has 74 yards rushing this season, right? So he's not one of these quarterbacks that Georgia has had to worry about this year, or oftentimes in big games that have beat them by scrambling a lot and making extra plays with their legs and beating you on those type of plays, right? He's definitely a very, very good pocket passer, but that is what he is a pocket passer. That is a lot easier for Georgia on defensive line and up front and the front seven in general to handle. And the reason I bring that up is because if Georgia starts getting pressure with five guys and not having to go with six or more on an actual blitz, if he can get pressure with four and five guys, it's going to be a really, really long Ohio State, because Georgia at that point can easily sit back and, you know, and play zone if they want to. They can, you know, across it, just fill every gap that you have, you know, by dropping back seven guys or something into coverage. And that's going to be the difference. If they start getting pressure and all of a sudden he can't find those windows because he doesn't have time and they're only rushing four guys, at that point, it's going to be a really long night for Ohio State. And I think at that point, Georgia takes off in this game.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see if they kind of take a similar approach they did against Tennessee, because Georgia got after the quarterback against Tennessee. Pinning their ears back, and they were coming after Hendon Hooker, and boy, did they put his butt on the ground more often than not, it felt like, especially that one drive where it was like three sacks in a row. Like, I'll be interested to see if they kind of do this, a similar type of thing
this
there.
Year too.
Yeah, Jalen Carter is definitely a key to this one, because as you stated, C.J. Stroud is not your typical Ohio State that everybody has kind of gotten accustomed to watching in years past. Like, you think back to Barrett and those type of guys, like Cardale. I know Cardale Jones was a bigger guy, not the most mobile, but he had a willingness to run the football. And then you also like Braxton Miller, Justin Fields, all of those guys could use their legs, and they're really good at using their legs, very mobile. C.J. Stroud is by no means like a stationary quarterback. He has the ability to move around in the pocket and use his legs when he needs to, but he does not have the willingness to put his shoulder down and run the football like some of those other previous Ohio State quarterbacks. So I'll be interested to see if Georgia kind of gets after him and forces his hand a little bit and says, like, all right, we're coming after you. I keep saying it, but we're going to make you feel us and make you feel uncomfortable and see how mobile you really can be. We're going to at least make you move outside of the pocket, maybe have to put your head down and run a little bit and see how that goes for you. So Georgia's definitely got to get some pass rush on him, because you can't let him sit back in the pocket and just be dropping dimes all day to Marvin Harrison or the other guy. I think it's Ibuka. I want to say the other guy is another 1,000-yard receiver. So they got two really good wide receivers out there. And as we've said on this channel many of times, what's a secondary's best friend? A really good pass rush. So Georgia's got to find a way to create some havoc in the pocket and just kind of make him think, make C.J. Stroud have to think, maybe make him second guess a little bit, because Ohio State has always been pretty infamous for having a one read style offense. Like, you know where you're going before the ball is even snapped typically. And that's why they have these guys putting up video game numbers. So
I'm glad you just said that, because that kind of leads into something. So he's not your stereotypical Ohio State quarterback in the sense that he scrambles a lot or can run the ball really well like so many of those other guys that you just named right there. But what he does do that a lot of them couldn't or didn't do while they were at Ohio State is there are clips. You can go actually watch game film of him where he looks to three, four different people it's quick. He still gets rid of the ball quick, but his head is doing this across the field before he unloads and throws. That's not something you saw that often from guys like Justin Fields. Justin Fields, he threw the crap out of the ball, but he was very much a check with me, one read type guy while he was at Ohio State, and it worked extremely well for him, and he's in the NFL now. He was a high draft pick because of it. That's great for him. But it says something that coming from a system like that C.J. Stroud is able to, or maybe it's just that they trust him to be able to look different ways, you know, and do more than just that one read. He does a lot better at that than other quarterbacks have in the past. So that's something to look for. But to go back to what we were talking about with the pressure on the quarterback against Tennessee, a team that is going to air it out against you. They had six sacks in that game. If you remember correctly, it felt like I think he may have registered one or two sacks technically, but Javon Bullard was in the backfield so freaking much. They kept sending him. He's playing star, walks up to the line and just breaks in so quick. Dude was fast as crap, and he absolutely lit in to Hendon Hooker in that game. So I think that's something that you could also picture see in this game, where if they are getting pressure with three, four guys up front, you know, the offensive line gets distracted. They're paying attention to those guys up in front of them, like that Jalen Carter, like what Stan said a little bit ago. Jalen Carter putting pressure up the middle is not a good thing for a quarterback. It's right in your face. You don't like that at all. You have to then try to run out, scramble out, and take your eyes away from downfield because you can't help it. All of a sudden, something like that is what you're focusing on. Javon Bullard comes flying off the end and just lights you up. And maybe you see something, you know, where he's not looking. Remember the sack that Eric Stokes had against Tennessee a few years ago and about took the dude's head off. Never saw him. He came from his face side too, where he was looking, and absolutely destroyed him. Some of that comes from the fact that they're worried about the pressure up the middle, so they don't have time to think about the guys coming from the outside like that. That's where you really, really see some added benefit from guys like Javon Bullard being out there to really be able to just lower the shoulder on a quarterback on a play like that. And I think that if you see that start to happen, it's game over. If Javon Bullard can get in the backfield a couple times like that, it's over with.
You know, something that Brooks has always pointed out about Jalen Carter, and this is not a knock against Jalen Carter, and I'll kind of expand upon that, upon this thought that Brooks has provided, is that Jalen Carter has the tendency to turn it on for certain games. And that's not to say that in all the other games that he's loafing around, not giving a damn type of thing. But he has a tendency to, like, in big time moments and big games, when he's out there on the field, he looks like what he is. He looks like the best player on the football field, and you cannot do anything to stop him. And it's just unblockable, and you can't do anything about it. No matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, he's just athletically gifted. God gave him everything right in the world. That's what they get. But that's what he gave Jalen Carter. And that's going to win 10 times out of 10, more than likely, especially if he's out there giving 110%. You saw him do it in the LSU game, because you have the infamous picture of him holding Jaden Daniels up, pointing his finger up. Great picture. Put it in a museum. That's where it belongs. And that was like, that was a huge game for Georgia, winning the SEC. You heard guys talk about it, how badly they wanted that SEC championship, and they got it. And I think this is quite possibly could be another game where you see Jalen Carter just absolutely turn it on, and he just goes all four quarters nonstop. He's coming downhill to CJ Stroud, and he can't do nothing about it. And if it's that type of game, if Jalen Carter is having that much success, just don't even bother getting off the bus, Ohio State. Like, keep CJ Stroud safe. Keep him on the sidelines. Tell him to take his helmet off and put a headset on. Because if that's going on, if that's what's happening on the field, put the backup in. Because we don't need to risk CJ Stroud's future at that point.
So let me ask you a question, because speaking of Brooks, he made a comment on one of his shows this week that stuck with me too. And I mean, this is a team that's scoring 45 points a game, 44.5. So we're going to say 45 points a game. They're scoring a ton. His comment was, this Ohio State team is a team they're 28 points off the bus. I mean, they're 28 points off the bus, meaning they are going to score 28 points on just about anybody. Now, obviously, they struggled against Michigan, only put up 23 points in that game. So let's talk about Georgia's ability to hold that team under that 28-point mark. What can this defense do at Georgia outside of what we're talking about a lot of this right now? Or what's the key to Georgia being able to keep them from getting that 28 off the bus? Or if we don't want to say the key to that, what does Georgia do offensively to make sure they can score with Ohio State in that sense, to where they will score 35, 40 points in this game? Whichever way you want to take it. We talked a lot about the defense.
I'll give you two things. I'll give you one defensively, and I'll give you one offensively. The one that I'm going to say about the defense is the way you keep them under 28 points is you make someone else beat you. Because if you look back in games where Georgia has struggled and they lost an SEC championship game or whatnot, it's been to teams that two wide receivers just went out and torched them for all four quarters. You saw it in 2020 against Alabama. You saw it in 2021 against Alabama, the SEC championship. And while Jackson Smith and Jigba is out this game, and Buka and Harrison are both 1,000-yard receivers, so one of them can beat you. You can allow Harrison to go get his a little bit. You can allow Mbuka to go get his a little bit, but you can't let them both. So you can't have both of them simultaneously going off against you. You have to make someone else step up on that offense. You can't let both of those guys beat you. So if you do that, if Kelee Ringo and Kamari Lassiter or whoever else in that secondary steps up and makes plays and makes someone else step up in the biggest moment of their season, then Georgia will be okay, and I think they will hold them under 28 points. Because, like, here's the deal. We said that Tennessee was going to score points. People thought that Georgia had to score more than 40 points to beat Tennessee in that football game. Seems like we say it continuously. We've said it about them against Alabama in years past. And you know what typically happens? Georgia does the impossible and proves us wrong every freaking time. They do what nobody else thought they could. So I'm not going to go as far to say that they are just going to come in here and drop 28 on Georgia, because I don't think it's that easy. I don't think it's that easy to just say that they're a walking 28 points against Georgia. I don't think so. So I'll disagree with Brooks on that a little bit. And like I said before, if they can keep both Harrison and Mbuka from beating them, then they'll be all right there. Offensively, it's the same thing that I know I keep going back to this game, but there's so much similarities between these two teams. It's the same thing I said for Georgia to have a success against Tennessee. And it's that, you got to win the time of possession, and you got to make your drives count. So what I'm basically saying is, drive down the field, eat up some clock, and make sure that your drives end in points on the board. Don't waste opportunities. So if you get a turnover, which Ohio State does not turn over very often, but if you do, got to make it count. Got to capitalize on opportunities. Got to capitalize on the red zone, as we already talked about already on this show. So those are the two things I would say.
I like it. I like it a lot. So I'm with you as well. If Michigan, if Michigan couldn't score 28 on them, or if they couldn't score 28 on Michigan, sorry, then I don't know that they are a walking 28 against UGA unless Georgia does what they did against LSU. And that is, we're going to win this game. We're going to score points against this team. So we're going to let them eat us alive underneath. We're going to let them throw for 400 yards against us.
Georgia had the mentality against LSU of, you're not stopping us on offense, so really, we really don't care what you do on offense for yourself.
Exactly.
You're not stopping us. And Georgia very well might have that same opinion against Ohio State. Like, your defense ain't stopping us, so we're going to change things up. And you know what? We might play a little bit reserved on defense because we know that every time we get the ball, we're finding the end zone. We're putting a 50-burger on your head. And they very well might come out and do that against Ohio State. So you don't know. In that sense, yeah, I agree with you.
So my other thing with it for Georgia offensively in this game is, you obviously, I'm going to say the same thing that you just said about Ohio State. Key for Georgia is, somebody else has to beat Ohio State. They're going to be focused on Brock Bowers. They're going to be focused probably on A.D. Mitchell, who is back probably, I assume, this week as well. So they're going to be paying attention to certain guys. They have to pay attention to Darnell Washington as well. You know, there's just so many. You can go down a list and say, they've got to pay attention to this guy, this guy, this guy. Ohio State, you got to pay attention to two receivers. At Georgia, you got to pay attention to Brock Bowers, Darnell Washington, A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, and then you got to really pay attention to guys out of the backfield. Kenny McIntosh could torch you in the pass game out of the backfield. What was it, 117 against Oregon in the first game of the season in the air?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think this is a game. What I'm getting at here is, I don't know that this is a game that you see Brock Bowers have 130 yards receiving or something like that. I think this is a game that you see somebody else that's going to take over. I think you see a Kenny McIntosh have a career type game. I think this is one of those games that he could absolutely eat. He runs really well against teams like this. Brooks talked about this on one of his shows, saying that Georgia should be able to run the count. It was his Q&A yesterday, I think. He talked about, so y'all go check that out on YouTube if you haven't watched it yet, where Georgia should be able to run the counter very well against this team because they rush the edges so aggressively. And so it opens up that counter run really easily for you. So if that's the case and Georgia decides to run counter real heavy in that game, Kenny McIntosh all day long. And then you still got to worry about him slipping out of the backfield. The dude's got over 450 yards receiving on top of his 700 plus yards rushing this year. So he's already got 1,100, almost 1,200 yards of total offense, I believe. The dude could have a career game this week. I really do think so. And I think it's needed for Georgia. You cannot win with the guys you always win with. I think you need to be able to find somebody else because you've got to keep them on their toes. If they have to all of a sudden stop paying attention to Brock Bowers, maybe he does have a 60-yard play because they had to pay attention to somebody else for a second there. But I do think that you're going to need other guys to free up Brock Bowers for a play like that, unless he just, out physical, his physicality just beats everybody. He gets a ball on a, 5-yard hitch or something and just takes off, which is very possible as well. He could beat them that way, but I don't know that you see him just streaking alone because they weren't paying attention to him. He's going to have people, safeties are going to be paying attention to him over top as well. But I think Georgia could very well succeed on the ground in this game because they are much more physical. Our offensive line at Georgia is insanely athletic. They can do it all game long, all four quarters, and that's where. And then you have all the running backs that Georgia has. I think it could be a big game for those guys.
Yeah, you can call me biased if you want, but I didn't see an offensive line give effort like Georgia's did this season. They should have won the Joe Moore Award, in my opinion, because I didn't see any other offensive linemen making dog piles, pushing the pile 15 yards down from the line of scrimmage. You don't see big fellas running down like that, wasting their energy just to go push the running back an extra 2 yards. But it seemed like Georgia did it almost every single run play because they wanted to and they were willing to. But William Griffin dropped a great stat in the comments. He says OSU or Ohio State red zone defense is 120th in the nation. Georgia's is number one in the nation. Oof. That right there might be your difference maker in the ball game, folks. Because
what did we say? That was earlier. Remember, we talked about that.
But if Ohio State is indeed just letting Georgia run through them in the red zone specifically, and they're just making it easy on them. There's just nothing you can
do. Bad Taco Bell, Georgia, bro.
Georgia is not going to be the defense that goes entirety of the game only getting like one stop or something like that. That's not going to happen, because that's never been how Georgia is defensively with Kirby Smart. But if Ohio State is doing that, where like you only get one or two stops against Georgia, I that might be your difference maker right there, because I think Georgia's going to score points. It's just a matter of you got to keep Ohio State off the board as well.
So that's huge. Once again, like 120th versus number one. So we're talking about both teams being extremely successful offensively in that category. But we didn't talk about that defensive side. So thank you very much for that stat, because that is, once again, it's a huge key to this game. And I think that it's something to watch for. Like you said, if they start letting us just score at will in the red zone, I mean, that's what Georgia's going to do. That's why Georgia has 13 more attempts in the red zone than Ohio State does, is because they drive the field and they score from within the 20-yard line a lot. That's what they want to do. They want that, like you said earlier, one of your keys, long drives ending in points. That's what you need. That's what Georgia likes to do. They love that 5-6 minute drive on 10 plays or whatnot. If you get to put a touchdown on the board with one of those, because they can't stop you in the red zone, I mean, it's just going to be a brutal, brutal game for them as well. And Stan, I see that comment about Milton being healthy. I'm with you there. I really like the way Milton's played the past couple of games. And going into the LSU game, same kind of thing was talked about with Georgia potentially just running counter against LSU, because it looked like what they might be able to do. And instead, Georgia ended up getting into an inside zone type run game. And whose game is that? That's your boy Milton all day long. If Georgia gets to where they want to run in the A-gap or through between the tackles like that, that is Milton all day long, and he is very physical. He will be very difficult for guys at Ohio State to bring down as well. So he could. I like that as well. He could have a big game. I wouldn't be against it. I would love to see it, actually. I think that kid has gotten a lot of disrespect throughout the season and throughout his career, because he's dealt with injuries, and then he hasn't had the biggest performances from a lot of people's perspectives. And he did kind of fall on the depth chart a little bit this year. So seeing him absolutely blow up the past couple of games, and maybe if he can have another huge game here, I mean, I would just absolutely, on a personal level, would absolutely love to see that.
Our boy Griffin out here dropping some nugs in the chat right now, because he just said CJ Stroud completion percentage under pressure is 40.6%, which is 124th nationally. Another really compelling stat right there. Another one that I'm going to say that might be the difference maker in the ball game, because Georgia is so creative with getting their rushers free. They're mint packages, they're mint fronts. It's almost like they just always seem to find a way to get guys free, and their rushers are always creating havoc in the backfield no matter what. Like, they always just find a way to get there. They find a way to cause disruption in the pocket. They may not be the best at actually getting sacks, but if you can just get some pressure on him, obviously, then his numbers are going to drop off drastically. And that's something he's probably not used to when you're playing teams like Rutgers and Indiana and a stale Iowa offense and whatnot. So if you can do that, that's another big key right there. I did not know that. That's a really good stat. So we appreciate you, Griffin, for dropping that.
And it, once again, the stat goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where if Georgia can get pressure with 4 and 5 guys.
Oh yeah.
I mean, good Lord. Because then he's going to have the pressure that he already struggles against, and then he's still going to have 7 or 6 guys sitting in zone or sitting back and covering, and it's really hard to throw against that consistently. So that still goes back. So that is a great stat to add to that as well. So let's just wrap up our keys real quick that we had talked about. I'll give my 2 and you give your 2 again. So first one, getting pressure on the quarterback with 5 or less guys consistently is a huge one. And that's the argument for that offensive line of Ohio State versus the defensive line of Georgia being the key. Second one is making sure you score in the red zone as well. And if you can stop the other team in the red zone, that's going to be the other key for Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, I know I threw out a lot of keys in this episode. It felt like I threw out all kinds of stuff. Like, oh, this is going to be the key to the game. But I'd say the 2 biggest ones are the ones I gave just a little bit ago when I said that you got to make someone else beat you. Don't let Harrison and Ibuka both beat you at the same time, because if you do, that has not been in recent history, that has not been a recipe for success for Georgia. So you can't let that happen. Got to have your secondary on point for Saturday. And then the second one I'd go back to put long drives together and put points on the board in those situations. Now, it doesn't have to be that way every single time, because you saw in against Tennessee, like they would put a long drive together, then it was pow, 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 just one play, two play touchdowns, like that one in McConkey. So it doesn't have to be that way every single time. But I would say if time possession is in your favor and you keep a lead and you can kind of keep them behind the eight ball a little bit, then of course Georgia's going to fare well in this game. And I've always told it, you know, a lot of people have come to me and said that they're really worried about Ohio State. And I've always kind of had the impression of like, I don't know that Georgia really, or Georgia fans really should be too worried about Ohio State. I've always felt confident that Georgia will win this football game. And I still feel pretty confident that Georgia will win this football game. I don't know if my vote of confidence means anything to you people, but you have my word there. I'll go ahead and say that I do think Georgia wins this football game.
I think Georgia wins this football game as well. The spread is currently sitting at 6.5 points. So I'll use this as my closing statement for everything that we just talked about as well. So we do seem to have, like, I'm sitting here listening to both of us talk, and we feel like we have a lot of confidence in this game. It's because Georgia's given us a lot of reason to have confidence in a game like this. They've performed extremely well in big games this season. They're coming off of a national championship last year, and they don't look like they're taking that to the head in the sense of they're distracted. They're very much prepared and ready to go in these games this season. You're coming off of a big win in the SEC championship game, and you've had a month to prepare for a team that you've played teams that throw the ball pretty well, and you've done very well against them as well. So I sit here and I say that I'm very confident in this. Overall, I think Georgia wins this game. That's not to say that Ohio State's not a good football team, and that's not to say that Ohio State will not come out there ready to play. So if you go out there and you start turning the ball over, and Stetson has issues with interceptions at times, you cannot have one of those games where you throw two interceptions. You cannot have games where you have your running backs fumbling the ball twice in the game. You cannot, because that goes back to what you said earlier. You can't squander your moments. When you get the chances, you got to put it in the end zone, or you got to put points on the board. You can't do that when you're turning the ball over. If you start turning the ball over against an Ohio State team, they will capitalize on that, and they will score points because you're giving them extra offensive possessions. Cannot do that. Terrible. That's not the recipe for success. So if that stuff starts to happen, everybody's going to be puckering, you know, their cheeks a little bit, sitting there ready for, you know, a battle. And it could very well become a battle. But my instinct after everything that I've seen and talked about up to this point says Georgia wins. I'm calling a 10-point game. I think it's a two-possession game. Not like a 14-point game, but a 10-point game that comes down. And that could come on a late touchdown by Georgia. It could be a 3-point game in the fourth quarter, and Georgia scores a touchdown to make it a 10-point game. But I do feel confident in Georgia in this game.
Yeah, I won't go ahead and give my score prediction necessarily, because I save that always for when we put our articles out over there on Dogs Daily. So I'll hold off for there. But you already know who I'm going to be predicting to win as of right now, unless a meteor falls out of the sky and takes out half of Georgia's roster or something like that. Then I might switch up my prediction of who I think is going to win. But Stoddard, you got anything else to add for this episode? Any more keys? Well, gosh, we have a freaking million of them.
That was it. That's all I got for tonight.
All right, guys. Well, we appreciate you guys for tuning in. Stoddard said at the beginning of the episode, and I'll close us out with it as well. Like and subscribe if you haven't already. It really helps us out in those areas. Beating that YouTube algorithm, man. Getting the word out to the people about what we're doing over here, the great content that we're making. Obviously, you people in the comments are enjoying it. We appreciate you guys. A lot of interaction to get some stats dropping. That's always great. Helps us out, obviously, too, because we were able to provide some context to the audience as well. So we appreciate all of those things as well. And as always, Stoddard, you can close us out.
As always, guys, keep it classy in the Classic City. Go Dawgs. Happy New Year. We will see you guys.